Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, we did In the Trenches, the Lions edition earlier in the program. College football back locally. It's time to go in the trenches, the Wolverines and the Spartans.
Just a quick note. Do you think, since Barry Alvarez has so much pull with the Big Ten, that, you know, hey, the CDC guidelines say we got to quarantine for 14 days. Graham Mertz, yeah, he's positive, but we could really use him back for the Michigan game. Do you think we might see an adjustment to the current rules of the Big Ten?
No, I don't think so.
No, okay. I didn't think so.
Who are their next two? Or just Iowa?
I'm not sure. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. But here's what I liked about Michigan's performance. Yes, Joe Milton looked good. Yes, the rushing game was there. The offensive line looked good. But it's more the fact that when I talked to Eric All after the game, talked to Ben Mason, talked to a lot of the kids, and they felt going into this game, they were as prepared as they have ever been and that they had answers for any adjustments that Minnesota made. And they were making some adjustments up front. And I talked about this last week with in my conversations with Josh Gattis and Don Brown, the depth of knowledge of this offense, of this defense, and their roles. This is something that I think they have done extremely well in not taking any time off the practice field. We saw what happened. I'll talk about Michigan State in just a minute. Michigan, when they got the word that they were going to be suspending the season, they went back out and practiced. They continued going through that. I don't necessarily know that it plays out in regards to the production on the field, but it's a mindset.
Right, they weren't in pads or
they weren't in pads. Hit, right. No, they weren't breaking rules.
Right,
they were following the rules, but they just never took that mental break. They never had that, and we saw with Michigan State they had to take time off because some guys came back and tested positive.
Right.
Michigan didn't allow their players to do that. The players didn't want to. I think that was a huge thing. But in this game, you start off, and I mentioned the pass play to Blake Corum, 24 yards. Hey, great. All right. This is Michigan football. This is what we have wanted to see. Speed at the running back position. A quarterback that shows some touch, some success on play one. What happens on play two? You get a guy in Ben Mason who's really, really excited to play football. And he starts driving a guy. And I've been guilty of this. And I probably could have been called for this penalty many times. But he takes and he drives him and doesn't hear the whistle, doesn't necessarily understand that he's out of bounds, and puts a Minnesota Golden Gopher in the bench and gets flagged for an unsportsmanlike conduct.
Mm-hmm.
Next play, Boye Mafe, one of the guys that I talked about last week, defensive end for Minnesota, comes off the edge and sacks Joe Milton. And we're thinking, oh no, the offensive line isn't going to be able to get it done. This is just another thing where we see some flashes of talent, but we get no payoff. And then there's a blocked punt.
Yeah.
Minnesota goes in and scores a touchdown. What I really liked about this Michigan team was they came back out, and I think this is a lot about Joe Milton. In that huddle, and I actually asked Ben Mason about this, and he said, hey, actually, we don't huddle anymore. It's me as an old guy. I think we actually should still huddle. But Ben Mason on the sideline, I'm sorry, Joe Milton on the sideline, on the field, there was no shock. There was no panic. He hands the ball off behind an offensive line that did their job. There was no shock. There was no panic. And they go 70 yards. They tie the game up. Now, all of a sudden, we're back to thinking this is great. Throughout the course of the game, and we have seen this throughout the last decade of Michigan football, where something happens and they can't handle the momentum shift.
Right.
And it's a oh, shucks I can't believe this is happening.
Here we go again, a big game. We've
ranked opponent on the road.
Right.
Right. I mean, it was writing itself. Now all of a sudden they answer the bell. Here's where I also liked it. PJ Fleck does one of the most boneheaded things I've seen a coach do in a while, and he runs a fake punt inside their 40-yard line.
Now, the reason, because their regular punter was hurt, probably.
Yeah, okay.
But they're still stupid.
But yeah, if you can't punt the ball, then don't expect your punt team to pick you up a first down, run an offensive play. You've got a number one pick, not number one overall, but Rashad Bateman. You've got Mo Ibrahim. You've got a Tanner Morgan at quarterback. Run your offense on the field and give yourself a chance. But Michigan gets the ball back. And we've seen it a number of times. Michigan gets the ball. There's an opportunity to strike. And then they don't come away with points, whether it's a touchdown or they miss a field goal. And they missed their share of field goals, three of them to be exact. But Joe Milton takes the team down, and they score. They are able to, at that point, they go up. On my notes here, it was 28-17 at that time. And the sneaky good play that I don't know what anybody is talking about. Chris Evans runs the ball. He's back in the program. He runs the ball, and he's down inside the five, and he fumbles it.
Oh, that's right.
Could have been. It's 28-17. He fumbles the ball and right before halftime, but he does a veteran move. He's on his back. The ball is underneath his legs. Somehow he reaches under, palms the ball, and brings it back up. Most people didn't even realize that there was a fumble.
Right,
yes, there was a little bit of a skirmish, but the replay shows there's a fumble, and I was sitting there, how did he get the ball back? He just very innocently grabbed the ball, and hey, great, we get the ball back. They score. They go up 35-17. The difference between 28-17 going into halftime, having squandered away an opportunity, and going in 35-17 at halftime, knowing that you made a mistake, but you capitalized and got away with points. That is the difference in this year through 1 week of Michigan football than we have seen over a number of years of Michigan football.
Not only did they score then, I believe, right?
They got the ball back with 30 seconds left and
right,
drove down and missed the field goal.
Right. But what I'm saying is I think Minnesota got the ball to start the second half, so that touchdown was very important.
It was very important. So now let's go to East Lansing. And everybody knows, I'm going to state the master of the obvious, you turn the ball over seven times, you are going to lose that football game. I don't care if you're playing against Ohio State, you may lose by a lot more, but if you're playing against a team like Rutgers, Rutgers is improved. Greg Schiano said this is his dream job. He has those guys ready. He's gone out in the transfer portal and gotten a lot of good players. They're improved. They're not 38-27. Over Michigan State improved.
Right.
Mel Tucker in this Michigan State team has not taken that far of a step back from what we saw at Mark D'Antonio. Yes, everybody wants to throw around the cupboard is bare.
Whoa, what is this? Rich Rod for Lloyd Carr?
Right, exactly. The cupboard is not
Barry bare. Cupboard, we called them.
it's not bare. They still have Jacob Panishuk up front, who needs to play better. He's one of the better pass rushers, should be one of the better returning pass rushers. We didn't see enough from him on Saturday. Didn't actually see almost anything from him on Saturday. He's going to play better. This offensive line is going to play better. They're going to give Rocky Lombardi a little bit more comfort in that pocket. But Rocky Lombardi was 31 of 43. That's a good performance.
Right. He had a few errant throws. One of the pick six, I believe, was basically just a miscommunication between him and Naylor. But he was fine. That wasn't their problem. Their problem was the turnovers, like you said, seven of them. And that's why when I see that it's 25-point spread, look.
It's ridiculous.
They forced three turnovers by the other team. That's good.
It is. It is. And if they come out and they play disciplined, they're going to play, by default, better. If they don't turn the ball over seven times, if they cut that in half, they may actually still win this game against Rutgers if they only have three and a half turnovers.
Right. Like, Michigan should win, but you're right. I mean, there were some – well, that you're in the trenches, but I liked Reed. Uh-huh. I liked Jordan Simmons, freshman running back. There are a few other players I thought were pretty good.
There are Jaden Reed – I think is a great transfer pickup, was, all freshman All-American at Western Michigan. He comes in and has 11 catches, 128 yards. Yeah, he put the ball on the ground twice. Jalen Naylor, he had a muffed punt. Mm-hmm. Those three right there, if you don't have those three turnovers, I really think that Michigan State wins this game.
Probably.
And so it's, and on top of that, the other thing, and I think the last thing I'm going to talk about is Michigan State's offensive line. Please, there is more experience up front because of the injuries that they have had over the last couple of years than almost any offensive line in the country. Now, it doesn't make them good just because they have had the opportunity to be on the field.
Right.
But they looked unorganized. They were not going, and I talked about this, watch Allen, their center. He needs to get everybody going the right directions. At times, it looked like they just were not listening to him. They got beat on some simple blitzes. All of what happened, Elijah Collins wasn't the running back we thought he was going to be in week one.
Right. That's why I think Simmons was better.
He was. But if you, as an offensive line coach, you don't have to simplify anything. You just sit those guys down and say, you map out, okay, we allowed penetration on this block. If we don't allow penetration on this, Elijah Collins will cut the ball back and he's going to hit his head on the goalpost. Those plays are all there. So do not, yes, be upset that you lost to Rutgers. Be upset that you turned the ball over seven times.
And be upset that you ran the ball four straight plays, including third and one and fourth and one. Jay Johnson has to be better than that. I know Mel Tucker likes physical football and that's part of it, but you can't do that.
And the biggest, like I've said for Michigan, the biggest improvement is from week one to week two.
Yes.
I think that Michigan State is going to take a monumental leap from week one to week two because they're going to be more disciplined. They're not going to turn the ball over. And they're going to be more productive in the run game, which will open up the opportunity for Reed, Naylor, for Rocky Lombardi to be productive in the pass game.
Yes. All right. Thank you very much, John. 97.1 The Ticket.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.